Magic,
and the world of illusion.
Magic TV
and Craig Petty proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It's 9 o'clock. It's time for a Talk Magic. And today I'm going to be talking to somebody who the last couple of years has been setting the magic community on fire. And the criminal part of this is you probably don't know who this person is if you live outside of the UK. But that's all going to change because he is on a huge upward trajectory and he is one of the most creative people I've met. He is a creator. He is a performer. He is an innovator. He's a lecturer. He's the Penguin Magic 2022 Creator of the Year. He's worked with some of the biggest names in the industry. I am, of course, talking about the one and only, the legend himself, the Welsh Wonder Wizard, Mr. Jamie Williams. How are you doing, Jamie?
Oh, what an intro. What an intro. Thank you, mate. That's, I think we'll end the interview. Yeah, that's great.
I think we should. We peaked. No, man, seriously, I had the honor of lecturing on the same bill as you at the Midwest Magic Convention, and just watching you lecture just drove home to me just how commercial your material is. You know, the fact that you do stuff that just works in the real world. It's designed to work. You know, you see a lot of lecturers that go out and they do pipe dreams. They do stuff that's never going to work. Anybody who goes to one of your lectures, they know 100% that they're going to walk out with something that they can do immediately. Every time.
That's what I wanted. I mean, when I do my lecture, what I want, I've been to a lot of lectures, right? And I can go to some lectures and I really enjoy them, but I look at them and think, I can't do any of that. I can't do a 10-folded, 10-tai, backhanded, round and roundabout. But I can't do it. And if I can do it, I'm working in the real world. I don't have time to reset and take 50 seconds or a minute to move this over here and do it. I can't do it, mate. So when I perform at any of my events, the magic I do has got to be, obviously, it's got to wow people. That goes without saying. But it's got to be something that I know I can do. It's not going to like be difficult to do. And I can literally do it to one person, turn around and do it to another person. So when I do my lecture, when I come up with my magic, no matter what it is, whether it's sticker kicker, star draw, celebrity, or my new effect movie quiz, every effect has got to be so anybody can do it, regardless of their ability, because that's what magic should be. Magic should be for everybody. And so when I do my lecture, every trick in my lecture, it might be 10 tricks I'm teaching, but if you can leave with just one trick and go, I'm going to do that, I like that. You know, I've served my purpose. I've helped somebody move on in their magical ability or magical career. And that's what I try to aim to do.
Yeah, and you do that, and you do that very well. And I want to talk all about your career. And it's kind of a really interesting scenario because normally, and I don't mean this in a negative way, Jamie, because I'm a huge fan of yours, but I think because of a lot of the stuff that you've released, maybe people aren't aware of you as much as they should be. Because when you brought out Sticker Kicker with Penguin, you went to Penguin with that idea. You and, you know, it ended up with your name and Roddy's name on it, which is amazing. But the initial concept of Sticker Kicker was yours. It was your thing. But a lot of people think of Sticker Kicker as Roddy's and not yours, even though that's not the case. And it's the same with a lot of the stuff that you brought out through Matthew Wright, because you weren't on the project. Celebrity people think of as Matthew Wright because he was the one performing it. He was the one doing the tutorial. But it's your trick. Same as Star Draws. It's your trick. And when, you know, we'll get to this later on, but your new trick, movie quiz, obviously I was on the project with you co-hosting it, but and I remember saying to you, I'm happy to co-host it with you as long as you realize I need you there as well, because it's your trick, it's not my trick, it's your trick. And it's kind of a weird kind of a weird situation that you've released so much incredible magic, but a lot of people maybe aren't necessarily aware that it's you that's actually creating that magic. And that's one of the reasons I was so keen on having you on Talk Magic, so that people just realize what a creative powerhouse you actually are and what you're actually capable of doing. You've got a big name. You've got a big future in this industry. 100%, Jake.
Well, I mean, first of all, thank you. I absolutely appreciate that. But no, you're absolutely right. I mean, I went to Penguin Magic with Sticker Kicker. Oh, Christ, seems a lifetime ago. And I said, look, I got this trick, and I showed him, and it's what you get now, you know. And they brought it off for me, and they kept it for a long, long time. And I think what they wanted to do was, you know, and what I wanted to do is when it was released, we wanted to make sure that the stickers were reusable, that people weren't just going to, like, you know, have to keep buying them. So we were waiting and waiting and waiting. And when it got released, Roddy's name was put on it. Now, I love Roddy. Roddy's one of my closest friends in Magic. But he, fair play to Roddy, and Roddy will confirm this. Roddy contacted me and said, why is my name on your trick? And I was like, well, I don't know. I mean, if you don't know, I definitely don't know. And I, you know, I still to this day, I don't know why, whether it's because he's Roddy McGee, it sells more with his name on it. I mean, Roddy's a legend. But then with you know, Star Draws and with Celebrity, I went to Matt Wright with these tricks. I said, look, I got this trick, have a look at it. And it got released. So I get it. You know, I mean, I have people come up to me and say, oh yeah, no, somebody at the Midwest Magic Convention said to me, do you want to see a trick? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And he started performing Celebrity on me. And I went, that's nice. And I didn't say anything. I went, oh, that's lovely. Yeah. He went, yeah, it's Matthew Wright. And I was like, oh yeah, no, it's nice. And I didn't say anything. And maybe I should have. But, you know, I mean, maybe it's a confidence thing. Maybe
I think you're too nice, Jamie, because if somebody had showed me my trick and said it was somebody else's, I'd be going, hang on a fucking minute here, mate.
Yeah, maybe I should have. Maybe I should have. Yeah.
Right now, let's just... Matthew's over there. It's me. It's all me. You are very, very nice. You're one of the nicest people in Magic, and I know that a lot of the stuff you're going to be having coming out, and we'll talk about that. It's going to be you front and center, as it should be. But before we talk about that, before we get to any of that, I want to talk to you about your career. I want to talk to you about how you got into Magic. I'm very interested to hear your origin story. So you're a full-time pro, you perform Magic full-time, you perform all over the UK, you create Magic, but where did you get into it? Where did your journey start? What's your origin story?
I never had any interest in Magic as a kid. For me, I grew up, and it was football. And I lived just outside London. I got scouted for football at a very young age. And I played for some youth teams. I represented England schoolboys. And it was always football for me. So I had no interest in anything else. And then due to injury, I had to stop playing. And then obviously I had to go off and get an education. And I was in university. And I'd love to pretend it was a real fascinating story. But what basically happened was it was a girl I liked. And I took her to the cinema, and we sat in the cinema ready to watch. I don't know if you remember the film. It was called The Hole with Keira Knightley. A really terrible film. And we sat there, and the adverts come on, and David Blaine comes on. And I'd never didn't have a clue who David Blaine was, never seen or heard of him. And he starts doing magic tricks, like throws a pack of cards against a car, and a cards on the other side of the glass. And I just remember sat there thinking, that is the coolest man I've ever seen. And the girl next to me, who I was on a date with, went, oh my God, he's so hot. And I was like, right, I need to be a magician. And as any magician will tell you, we don't get women. But for some reason in my youth, I thought it did. So I went off, and you know, this is prior to the internet. This is prior to downloads and the net tricks or things. So I went to the library in the university I was in, and I went, look, I know we got books on law and blah, blah, blah. Do we have anything on magic? And then she was like, oh, if we do, it'll be at the back. And I picked up the Royal Road to Card Magic and Bobo's Coin Magic. And I went home, and it was a weekend I was at my parents', and I went home, and my dad kind of come over and was like, what are you reading? And I decided it's a magic book. And my dad gave me the best advice ever. And my dad knows nothing about magic. But he went, I'll give you a bit of advice. Learn one trick and that's it. But learn it better than anybody else. He said, because if somebody comes up to you and says, show me a trick, if you do 10 magic tricks that aren't that good, people will say you're crap. But if you can do one trick and it's really good, people will want to see it again. And I went, yeah, that's a good point. So and that's what I did. So I learned sleight of hand. That was the first thing that I learned, was how to do sleight of hand with cards and with coins and that. And then I didn't know anybody in magic at all. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know who to reach out to. And a couple of years later, I was doing a car boot sale. And I bumped into a guy who I used to go to college with. So I hadn't seen him for a long, long time. And I said to him, well, what are you up to now? And he said, oh, I'm a magician. I went, oh, I like magic. He went, oh, come along to Cardiff Magic Club. And I was like, what's that? I've never heard of it. So I went along and kind of just got into it from there, really, and just started to kind of find out about different places to learn magic. I never had anybody take me under their wing, so I'm kind of self-taught, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I've been doing it ever since, and kind of like, you know, where I'm from up in the valleys, there's a lot of rugby clubs. So I kind of just started doing magic in the clubs. It's like Game of Thrones, mate. Honestly, it's like the wildlings up in the valleys. So if you don't do a good trick, you know about it. And yeah, you know, just went from there, really. And just I think it's fair to say, you know, up until this point, I fumbled my way through learning magic, and you know, it's only started to come together recently, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when did you become pro? When did you kind of think, okay, so you got into it when you were in university and the bug bit and you carried on and carried on. When did you kind of go, you know what, I can actually make money out of this?
I think it's more of a confidence thing for me, because I didn't feel confident. I didn't think I was good enough to charge people. You know, I was thinking, you know, people are going to be parting with their money. They want something decent. And I didn't feel for a long time I was at that standard. And then I went to a friend's wedding down in Folkestone, down by Dover in England, and they had a magician there. And he turned up for an hour. I don't know who he was. I remember just watching him, thinking, "Well, I'm not being egotistical, I'm not being horrible, but I'm a lot better than him." And I think my friend had paid someone like £700 for him for an hour. And I went home and I kind of, you know, I gave it some thought, and I thought, I honestly do think that I'm good enough then. If that's, so I went to a hotel by me and I said, look, you know, do you do any events that I could come and do a gig at? Like, you know, and she said, oh, we've got a wedding fair coming up. Do you want to give that a go? And I was like, yeah, okay. So I had to go off to good old Vistaprint and order some cards and that. And that was really like the first time. And I think like the first wedding fair I was in charge of a lot, I didn't have to charge. But I got a couple of bookings and I went off and I did the weddings, and then people were phoning me saying, oh, you did my friend's wedding, we loved you, can you come to my wedding? And I was like, there's a business here, you know, there's something, I can do this. And it was just, I think it kind of started from there, like, you know, it was once I got my confidence to be like, look, you can do this, you are good enough. And I think, you know, I think probably anybody watching this can probably associate with that at some degree. And then once, you know, once I got there, it was a case of not looking back then, like, you know.
That's great. So before we carry on, actually, let me ask you one question. So when did you turn pro? How many years ago did you decide to actually?
I think about 12 years ago now.
About 12 years ago. So for anybody who, you know, I get a lot of questions on this channel all the time. And one of the questions I get is people who are nervous or they have imposter syndrome. You know what I mean? Kind of like, they don't think they're good enough. They worry about performing magic because they don't. Kind of very similar to what you said. As somebody who's got through that and then some, you know, you've gone from what, 13 years ago going, I don't think I'm good enough to charge people, to, you know, 13 years later, let's just be completely honest, Penguin Magic Creator of the Year, just come back from lecturing at the Midwest Magic Convention on the same bill as Jay Sankey. Just come back from taking your family to Florida on a, you know, a family holiday paid for by magic. You know, you've become very, very successful. To anybody who's experiencing the same sort of self-doubt or the same sort of imposter syndrome as you were, do you have any advice that you can give that helped you get through that?
I think, first of all, people need to know it's okay to feel like that. There's no shame in not feeling confident, not just with magic, but with anything. And it's okay, you know, you don't be ashamed of not thinking you're good enough. It's something that we all go through in some aspect of our life. For me, I can only tell you really what I did and hope that it helps somebody. For me, it was a case of just kind of taking my time and going, right, okay, I'm just going to dip my toe in the water. You don't have to jump in. You can dip your toe in the water and go, I'm just going to go maybe and perform at a small event, you know, and, you know, maybe a friend's party or someone like that. If your friend's having a party, say, look, do you mind if I bring a deck of cards? And just kind of take your time. You don't have to. I know there's this eagerness that we all want to be successful in magic. We all want to be the next Dynamo or David Blaine or Darren Brown. I was referred to the other night as an overnight success, but it's taken me 13 years to be an overnight success. It doesn't happen overnight. Nobody sees the work that goes behind it. Nobody's seen me go into these rugby clubs or work in them clubs, getting bottles thrown at me because, you know, I've messed the card trick up and I haven't found their card, or getting abused because I've got a speech impediment and being told, oh, look, the invalid person is here and stuff. Nobody's seen all of that. So it's not been an overnight success. It's taken me 13 years of hard graft to get where I am. And even when I released my tricks, I hid behind other magicians because I was too frightened to put my face out there. And it's only really with the support of people like yourself, Mark Bennett, and some of my friends that I've kind of stuck my head out of the pot, you know, out of the pit and gone, right, okay, well, this is who I am. And people are either gonna like me or not like me. There's nothing really I can do about it. So for anybody kind of in the same thing, just don't be afraid. I know it's an easy thing to say, but don't be afraid. Give it a go. The worst thing that can happen is you fail. But if you fall down, like Batman says, the reason we fall down is so we can get back up again. And nobody learns without making mistakes. So just give it a go, you know, and if you need to reach out to somebody, reach out to me. If I can help and support somebody, I will.
That's fantastic. And again, more proof of you being the nicest guy in magic. That's great. It really is. Do you still, before we move on, do you still struggle with, I'm going to use the word imposter syndrome. I don't know if that is what it is, but let's, do you still struggle with that now? Is it still an ongoing thing, or have you kind of got yourself to a point now where you're kind of like, you know what, I'm frigging awesome?
No, I never think that. I might put up a front with my mates where I go, oh, I'm not the best magician in the world, but I'm in the top one, like, you know, Brian Clough type thing. But I never think that I'm, you know, awesome or superb. I never have done. I don't think I ever will. But I don't suffer from the imposter syndrome as I did. So, like, for example, the Midwest Magic Convention, I was on the same bill as some of my magic heroes, Craig Petty, Jay Sankey, you know, and I was like, what the hell? How am I here? And then when I did my lecture, Jay Sankey came and watched. And after, he came up to me and said it was one of the best lectures he'd ever seen. And I was just like,
yeah.
I mean, you were sat next to me. And I was like, wow, Jay Sankey's just come up and, like, you know, really just giving me the best compliment ever.
And I'll tell you something as well, which I've not told you. Ryland told me a few days ago that out of everything that happened at Midwest, you were the highlight of his whole trip, your lecture.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, I'm honoured. I'm absolutely honoured. I mean, I don't know. Well, yeah. So, yeah. Wow. Well, you flabbergasted me with that, mate. So,
Yeah, it's true, buddy. You killed it. You absolutely killed it. It was an incredible lecture. It really was. It really was, and it just shows how awesome you are. So let's go back. So you turn pro, and you make that leap. I want to ask you a question about something else as well, actually, when you made that leap to going full-time pro. Was that a difficult decision to do? Because the other question I get on this channel all the time is, hey, I'm a hobbyist, or I'm a semi-professional, or I'm an amateur, and I want to do this for a living. When do I think is the right time to go and make that leap? Because it's a scary thing. Because you go from, you know, let's say you've got a job. You go from being in a job where you have job security, you have a pension, you have, you know, sick pay, you have money coming in every single month too. Well, now I'm self-employed, and, you know, if I don't go out and get gigs, I'm not going to have an income. Was it a difficult decision to make? And is there any advice for people that are in that similar sort of situation where they're wanting to go pro, but they're worried about actually taking that leap?
I think if you think it's like buying a house or having children, okay? So you might have a conversation with your partner, or you go, look, no, we want to start thinking about children. And the first thing you do is you think of all the negatives. You think of how are we going to afford to do it? Do we have the room to do this? How are we going to find the time because I'm working and blah, 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 blah. And the more you think about it, the more obstacles you throw in the way. And I think, you know, the only advice I can give is, he's an old writer, an old poet. I can't remember the name, but I'll find out. And somebody, a young girl wrote this poet a letter and said, I want to be a writer, but I don't know if I can be a writer. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if I'm confident enough to be a writer. And this professional writer, poet, wrote back to this young girl and said, if you wake up and all you can do is think about writing, then you're a writer. And I think it's the same thing with magic. If you wake up and all you can think about is magic, you're meant to be a magician. And therefore, it's down to you to go, right, I'm going to do it. Life is very, very short. Very short. And if we wait and we take our time, it goes by before we've even noticed. And the one thing I don't want to do is look back and go, you know what, I wish I'd done that. I'd rather look back and go, you know, I did that. I kind of messed it up, but at least I gave it a try. And that's the only advice I can give people, is to say, if you believe you're meant to be a full-time magician, then you are a full-time magician. You go out and you do it.
Mm. That's great advice. That really, really is. And you do primarily close-up magic, don't you, Jamie? You're not really a stage performer. We do primarily close-up magic. You become a full-time pro 12 years ago. At what point did you kind of say to yourself, I want to start creating my magic as well? I don't want to just go out there and perform it. I want to create it. And where did that come from? What made you kind of go down that route? And was initially were you creating magic for yourself to perform to your audiences? Or did you kind of have in your mind, you know what? I want to actually produce magic. I want to work with Penguin. I want to work with this company. I want to work with that company. You know, I want to lecture. I want to share my magic with the community. Where did that journey come about? Because tens of thousands of magicians, lots of people perform magic. Very few people create. You're in a very small percentage. So what made you kind of go down that route?
For me, I wanted to do magic for me. I was doing events, I was doing weddings, and I'd have, you know, you take out a deck of cards and somebody goes, oh, I've seen this one. And you're like, well, I haven't even taken the cards out of the box yet. How have you seen it? And then I was turning up at weddings and people were going, oh, we had a magician here last week, he put my ring on the keys, or I had a magician here last week and he put these balls in my hand, or he put the card in my hand and it was a block of ice. And I was like, right, okay, well, yeah, kind of the tricks that, you know, every magician seems to be doing at the moment. And I wanted to do it so that when I turned up at a gig, I could do a trick and they wouldn't have seen it before. They may think they know where the trick is going, but then something happens and they're like, oh, I haven't seen that one before. And obviously, if you had a wedding, you get photographers as well, and they tell you about a magician they worked with yesterday or the day before. And I thought, maybe it was the ego in me, but I wanted to kind of do it so that even the photographers would go, I haven't seen that one before. So that's how it started. And it started with just trying to come up with an idea or a trick where I could do it and they wouldn't have a clue. So one of the first things I ever came up with was a thing called, I think I called sticky tile. And what I did is I got a little bit of metal, like a shim, and I put it inside my tie. And then I would literally just take a PK ring, do a bit of like, you know, manipulation with a ring, and then just chuck it at the back of my tie so it stuck and made it look like it vanished. And that was one that, I don't know what I'm doing that for, but that was one of the first things that I ever came up with. And then it kind of grew from there where I would like, I mean, like the little tag, like a loop on the back of the tie, I kind of like changed so I could lend their ring and put it on the loop. So, you know, when somebody said to me, oh, a magician made my ring go to his keys, I go, let me have a look. So he did what? Oh, hang on, what was it on? And then it was on my tie. I go, well, I can't get it to my keys, but it's on my tie. And it was just different, you know? And then sticker kicker was really the first thing I kind of came up with. But again, it was never any intention for it to go to a company because I didn't know how to do it, is the honest truth. I didn't know how to reach out to somebody or anything like that. And it was kind of thanks to Rodney McGee and Dave Forrest, because I put on Facebook, oh, Blackpool Magic Convention, I might go. Is anybody else going? And fair play to Dave Forrest, he reached out to me and said, mate, if you haven't got anybody to go to Blackpool with, you're welcome to come and you know, hang out with us. If you want to help out on the stall, you're more than welcome to. I know you're a good performer, blah, blah, blah. Let me know. So I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll do it.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I hung out with Dave Forrest. He introduced me to Roddy McGee. It was the first time I met Roddy McGee. And I just told him we were sat in the Ruskin, and Roddy said, oh, you know, come on in, show me a trick. And I showed him sticker kicker. And he went, whose trick is that? And I went, it's mine. And he went, oh, I like that. And it was left at that. Nothing else was said. And then a while after, he messaged me on Facebook, like we've become friends on Facebook, and he said, you still do that sticker trick? And I said, yeah. He said, I'm now working for Penguin and we'd be interested in it. And that was really the start of it, really. You know, it wasn't a case of me reaching out to Penguin, it was Rodney McGee. And then kind of from there, you know, it just, you know, people contact me and say, oh, I've seen your trick. If you, you know, what else have you got? We might be interested. And it kind of grew from there, to be honest with you.
That's a very unusual path for a creator to take, because normally when people want to become a creator, they're putting stuff out there in magazines, sending it off to companies, getting letters saying, or emails saying, no, sorry, this isn't for us, getting a lot of rejection, a lot of doors slammed in their face. And occasionally, eventually, you get that company that says yes, and that's your big break, and then hopefully you can capitalize on that. What we have here is almost the kind of a accidental creator. It's kind of like not that you've created it accidentally, you've created the trick, you've you know, you should be very proud of sticker kicker. It's, you know, it's 2022 Penguin Magic creator, you know, trick of the year. It beat Keymaster, you bastard. It's you know, it's amazing, and it should, you know, and you should be so proud of it. But that story about, hey, yeah, Roddy reached out to me, and then Matthew Wright reached out to me, and it's kind of like accidentally becoming a creator. It's kind of a very unique way to get into the kind of the creating aspect of this community, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, listen, and again, this is just thinking, it might, you know, I might be completely wrong. I like to think that somebody's or these other magicians or these companies have seen something in me that they go, I can see his way of thinking. And then they've gone, I can see his way of thinking, let's see what else he's got, what else he's performing. And I mean, I met Peter Nardi for the first time properly. You know, I'd met Peter previously at Blackpool now, but I bumped into him at Blackpool, and one of the things he said is, oh, I've been keeping an eye on you for a while now, he said, because I can see you're clearly a good creator. And I just like to, you know, some, you know, maybe that's what it is. Maybe like other magicians or shop owners or whoever have gone, oh, he's come up with some good ideas here. Or maybe not. I don't know. But everything I try to, everything I create, everything I do, one thing I don't do is come up with a trick at 11 o'clock in the morning, and at 12 o'clock I email Penguin or Alakazam or whoever and say, oh, I've just come up with a trick, do you want to buy it? Because I want to make sure the trick works in the real world. So I will come up with a trick and then I will go off and work it for a long, long time. Like I say, Sticker Kicker took about 4 or 5 years to come out because I was constantly working and making sure that every nook and cranny was done. So I will work the trick to, I mean, you've seen the live performance videos, there'll be hundreds of them. And if I don't think it works, then I won't contact the magic company. But then, you know, I've had that. I've come up with ideas, or I've been before. I've got tricks that I perform in my set that other magicians have seen and gone, oh my God, no, you're selling it, I'll buy that. And I'm like, no, it's just mine. And I go, okay, I've been performing it for 3 or 4 years. And I've reached out to magic companies and I said, like, I've got this trick, I've been performing for 4 years, is all the life for kids, you can see it slays. And magic companies have gone, nah. And I've gone, oh, okay. So it does happen, you know? I mean, the one thing I'd say to anybody watching is don't be put off. If one magic company says no, it doesn't mean it's a bad trick. It just means they don't see what you see. I've had magic company who said no to one of my tricks and then it's come out with another company, and then I've seen that same magic company selling on their website. And I'm like, well, how does that work? So, you know, one of my favorite tricks, Craig, is a trick I do called movie tickets. And what that is basically a movie ticket from cinema. And I say to them, check it out, it's on the ticket. And the only thing it doesn't tell you is the name of the film. And they're like, there. I say, scrunch it up, put it in your hand. And they do that. And then I say to them, if you were sat in the cinema right now and you were watching any movie from any history, what movie would you be watching? So let's say, for example, they say Jaws. I say, right, okay, so tell me about Jaws. Tell me about the movie. What do you remember about the movie? So they start telling me about the movie. And I say, so the main thing you remember is the shark. And you're holding the cinema ticket. I haven't touched it. Open your hand. And when they open their hand, so they're paper origami of a shark. Wow. And it's one of my favorite tricks. I've been doing it for about 7 or 8 years. And I reached out to a magic company and said, look, you know, here's the footage. You can see it slays. There's like 15 reveals of different movies. They're very easy to make, very cheap. And they turned around and said, no, we don't think it's commercial. It happens. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's crazy. So what would you do in a situation like that? Do you shop it to another... Do you shop it to another production company? Do you try and produce it yourself? Do you hold it back for just lectures, or you just kind of put it to one side and go, oh, well?
It's a bit of everything, to be honest with you. I think for me, in my personal, it goes down to how I'm feeling on the day. You know, if I'm in a kind of, you know, no, I know this is a good trick move thing, and I might try a different company. But if I'm kind of like, oh, I can't be bothered today, then I might just put it to the side. I've got my footage. I've got my like the notebook of all my tricks in it. And I might just say, oh, I'll come back there at a later date, you know. I'm not the type of person who wants to have a trick out every couple of weeks. That's not what I'm about. You know, this is, I think I've had like one or two tricks out a year. So far, and that I'm quite happy doing that. You know, I've helped other magicians on some of their tricks, but I've kind of said to them, look, don't put my name on it. Because I just like to kind of be in the shadows, you know. And like I said, this is really the first time I'm kind of poking my head out.
Yeah, you have always been in the shadows, but at the same time, you must want to have a name within the magic community. Because you lecture, you know, you went to the, you know, like I said, again, I'll reiterate, I saw you at the Midwest Magic Convention. Both me, Ryan, and Jay Sankey said it was one of the best lectures we've seen. So, you know, I'm assuming you've got a desire to have your name out there within the community. why, you know, and a big part, and you'll know this from being a performer, because obviously one of the reasons you've been a pro for 12 years is because you get gigs. How do you get gigs? You build a brand. It's marketing. You get people to know who you are so that when they're looking for a magician for their wedding, for their corporate event, for their private party, they think Jamie Williams. And that's all marketing is. It's about building a brand and getting people to recognize that brand. Well, in essence, it's the same thing within the magic community. How do you become a successful creator? You have a brand, you create a brand, you build trust in the brand by bringing stuff out that people like, and then you push yourself out there. And I mean, are you wanting to have that sort of notoriety within the magic community, or are you not, and you're just happy to be the guy behind the scenes? Like, where do you stand with this?
Good question. I honestly don't know. If I'm being completely honest, I don't know. I mean, it's nice to be you know, to have people say nice things about you. It's nice to be recognised, and it's nice to kind of get the credit for things. But on the other hand, I'm never going to have my own TV show. I don't have the face or the voice for it. So I'm quite happy just, you know, being in the background advising or something like that. Like, you know. So no, I honestly don't know. So it's a brilliant question. I wish I knew the answer, but yeah, it's nice to kind of like, you know, see, you know, when I've had people like message me on social media saying, oh, you know, hi Jamie, I just let you know I stick a ticker or this trick or that trick, and I absolutely love it. Yeah, it's wonderful to have. You know, it's very humbling. But do I want to be the guy on stage taking the bows? Probably not. But then on the other hand, if somebody contacted me and said, look, you don't want to come out, have your own TV show, I'd probably be like, well, I'll pay my mortgage and I'll do it. Like, you know? So I don't know. I don't know if... I think it's probably because I've never been in that situation that maybe I feel a little bit kind of apprehensive about doing it. It is scary. I mean, you know, Craig, it's scary putting yourself out there, because the more they build you up, the more they can knock you down. And maybe I'm just wary about, like, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm a bit of a chicken. I honestly don't know, mate.
No, you're not a chicken, not by any stretch of the imagination. Like I say, you have such a big name within this community already, which is incredible. And you've only just got started. Like, the first thing that came out was in 2021, maybe something. Yeah, so you've only been creating magic for 2 years, and a lot of people don't know if they've not created magic, but one of the things that's most frustrating about being a creator, at least from my point of view, I don't know if you agree, is how long it takes for everything to happen, how long it takes, you know. Yeah. It's frustrating, you know, you have the idea for a trick, and you've got this trick, and it's like, oh my God, this is perfect. It's like you know, Penguin had the trick, and then it was years later that it came out. And that is something that's a very frustrating part of creating. And yet, in 2 years, everybody knows who you are.
Oh, I don't know about that. But no, you're right. I mean, I think I, like, poor Sean Dunn at Penguin, I think I've apologized to him about a billion times, because I was bugging the hell out of him saying, look, I signed the contract. You brought me trick, what the hell is going on? And because I didn't know how it worked, I was probably the most annoying person he's ever had to deal with.
He's dealt with me.
But I mean, I've since apologized. But it's a learning process for me as well, like learning how all this is done. I've been very lucky. My new trick, Movie Quiz with Mark Bennett, that Mark Bennett has produced. This is my new trick out. That's happened really quickly. Like, I showed Mark the trick, and boom, it's out there now. Like, you know, that's probably the quickest turnover of a trick I've done so far.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about Movie Quiz, because obviously you first brought out that this is your fourth commercial release. Am I correct in saying that? Having seen your lecture, I know there's a lot of stuff that you have as well that's specifically just for lectures. There's a lot of material that you have that you're only going to see if they go to a lecture. But in terms of available through magic shops, first was Sticker Kicker, then was Celebrity through Matthew Wright, then was Star Tours, Yeah, again through Matthew Wright. So this is the fourth trick, the second trick of 2023, the fourth trick so far. And this is the first one that you've bought out that you're actually on the project, which is amazing. I'm so excited. This is great. And I'm very honored to be your co-host and have the honor of actually sharing, you know, what, sharing the screen with you, being the person that introduced you and watching you, you know, explain this, frankly, very, very commercial piece of magic and mentalism.
Yeah, it was quite funny because I said, showed Mark it, and Mark was like, well, we're going, you know, Craig, I've asked Craig. And I was like, brilliant, just like, let me know when it comes out. And he went, no, you're going to be on it. And I was like, no, I don't do that. And he went, no, you're going to be on it. You're going to be sat next to Craig. You're going to, it's your trick. He said, you're not hiding behind me. You're not hiding behind Craig. It's your trick. Get your face out there. And Mark's such a good guy. I love Mark to bits. I've known Mark since, years ago when I used to go to the Illusions Bar and do all the gear, like, you know. And so Mark kind of like, you know, pushed me forward on this and said, like, you know, you're going to do it. And I think, I'm not blowing smoke up your bum or anything, but I think it really helped having you next to me because obviously you're very experienced. And I think had it just been me, I probably would have crumbled.
Not at all. You were great. You were fantastic. You presented everything very, very clearly. I was just there to make sure it went, it carried on moving in the right direction and to throw a couple of extra bonus ideas in there.
I'm really excited about the trick. It's, okay, it's my trick, but it is such a good trick. It's such an amazing trick. I haven't been this excited about a trick for a long, long time. It's easy to do. Anybody can do it regardless of your level. It's easy to do. It plays well whether you know, if you go to a gig and there's 10 people at the table and you need attention, this is the one to do it. But on the same hand, you can just sit there at a table 1-to-1 or 2-to-1 or whatever, and you can entertain them for 10, 15, 20 minutes with just one deck of cards. You've got 58 cards in the deck. There's three revelations, so you're not just stuck to one revelation. You can perform this, and if they turn around and say, sorry, it's a trick again, you can get no props and do it with a completely new revelation. And it's, you know, as long as you can put your hand in your pocket, you can do the trick. That's really how easy it is.
Yeah.
And I know there's magicians out there, obviously I perform this. I know Mark Bennett is performing it. Daniel Chard's performing it. Rich Relish is performing it. Lord Harry is performing it. So there's magicians out there, real workers, very, very like experienced magicians who are performing this at every gig they do. So I think once word gets out on this trick, I think this is going to be probably one of my most popular tricks, if not my most popular trick.
I'd agree with that. Yeah, it's fantastic. And you should be very proud of it. And it's available now through all good magic dealers, and even the bad ones stack it. So everyone's got the trick, which is great. So what from a creativity point of view, do you have other things that you're working on? Now you've taken, I suppose I've got two questions. The first question is, what are you actively working on other routines? Actually, I've got three questions. So the first question is, are you actively working on other routines, other tricks, other projects, other effects that are going to be coming and seeing the market at some point? Second of all, now that you've been on camera and it's been you, is that something that you want to actually do again? And are you wanting to be the face of any future projects? And thirdly, what other companies would you like to work with? You've worked with MB Magic. You've worked with Matthew Wright. You've worked with, obviously, Penguin. Are there any other kind of companies that you want to work with moving forward? Or are you wanting to release magic through yourself and self-publish? I'm really interested in knowing all of this.
So I've got a number of effects that I'm working on. At the moment, I've got one that I know I'm actually working on with Mark again. It's an effect called Subtle, and it's a mentalism routine. And what I found, I don't want to give too much away, but what I found with mentalism And what really grinds my gears to a certain extent is when somebody says to somebody, oh, you're thinking of, just for example, the Jack of Hearts, and look, here's the Jack of Hearts, I influenced you. And it's like a 50-foot poster of the Jack of Hearts or something stupid like that. And it's like, I'm pretty sure they would have noticed that, like, you know? And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if it was really subtle, where you can actually say, well, look, you've been holding that the whole time. Have a look at what you've been holding. And only through kind of going, oh my God, I didn't even notice that. Then you can talk about subliminal influencing and really kind of drive home the psychological aspect of it. So I'm working on something with Mark Bennett with that, and we're hoping to have it out by Blackpool. There's a couple of things that I'm working on as well that I have been working on, but I haven't kind of reached out to anybody with them yet. So yeah, it's a couple of irons in the bag, but like I say, I don't like to have too many things out. I just, you know, I don't want to kind of like be overkill people with my stuff. In terms of, what was the second part? Sorry.
The second part is, are you going to now be the center of attention on the project? Is it going to be you? Because I really do think more people need to know who you are. And I think that the days of letting other people do your project should be over. I think that you should be the person taking center stage.
I mean, this is something that people keep telling me, keep saying to me. So I think maybe I need to heed your advice. I need to heed your advice and Mark's advice and other people's advice. And maybe just kind of put myself out there a little bit more. You know, I do my lectures, but that's only because I like to share magic. You know, I like to, you know, I like to help people. So yeah, listen, you know, if you're Dynamo or if you're, you know, a TV creator or producer and you want a chubby middle-aged overweight balding guy, I'm your man. But in terms of working with magic companies, I mean, I'd love to work with Alaka Sam. I'm a big fan of Alaka Sam and the magic they produce. People keep telling me that my magic is perfect for Alaka Sam with like the style and that. It's something I like. I like Peter, I like Harry. So I'd love to work with Alaka Sam. And there's lots of magic companies out there I'd like to work with. But it just depends, you know. I mean, if you're interested, then great. You know, we'll see how it goes.
That's great. That's fantastic. That's, I mean, wow. Let me ask you one more question. Well, a couple more questions, but this sprung to mind as I was speaking to you. You love performing. I can tell you love magic, period. You love magic. But you love performing and you love creating magic. What's more important to you? So let me give you a hypothetical situation. You get an opportunity to work full time for Murphy's Magic or Penguin Magic, just sitting there creating magic like Lloyd Barnes does, but you can't perform anymore because you're creating magic full time and working with other creators. So you have to give up performing. Or you get a Vegas contract. You get a chance to headline your own show in Vegas, or you get a residency somewhere, and unfortunately, because you're so busy performing in this incredibly high profile situation, you don't have time to go through the process of creating magic, which, as you know, is a long process. Which one is it?
Good question.
The reason I ask you is you're good at both. A lot of creators, and I want to be serious here, a lot of creators just create, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, but a lot of creators don't just create. They don't perform. Lloyd, you know, Lloyd's my best friend in the world. He's never performed a gig in his life. Chris James, who I consider to be an excellent creator, doesn't perform. There's a lot of people out there that create and don't perform. You're one of the few creators. And a lot of performers don't create. You know, you see a lot of full-time pros. They go out and they do their thing, but you're never going to see them release a magic trick. There's a very few small group of people that perform and create, and you're in that bubble.
Yeah, I think I'd love to be headline in Vegas or just a backup in Vegas, to be honest with you. Because I mean, how awesome would that be? Like, you know, just, you know, going out there. that would be a dream come true. But on the other hand, I, you know, to, if somebody like Murphy's or Penguin contacted me and said, look, you know, see what you can do. Do you want a job creating magic for us? Yeah, that'd be a dream come true as well. So I don't know. I don't know which one I'd prefer, but both sound good, you know? I suppose, again, going back to what I said earlier, the only thing about, you know, I think with either of them, you can kind of be, you know, trolled online. You probably can be trolled online more if you're out there performing with your faces out there than if you're kind of like, you know, behind the scenes. But then again, you just kind of, you know, I don't know, do you just ignore that? I don't know. But yeah, I mean, Fagus, creating, anybody wants to give me a job on this thing?
That's awesome. That's hilarious. And one final question. What is left on your magical bucket list that you want to achieve? Because again, the last 2 years, you've come from nowhere. And I don't want to go through all your accomplishments again, but considering like a lot of people maybe aren't aware who you are, you've accomplished so much in these last 2 years, more than most creators could ever dream of. A lot of creators, they bring one good trick out and that's it. And then they live off that forever. You've brought out a bunch of stuff and you're working on new material all the time. Like, you've done great in 2 years. You know, a lot of people, if you ask them, would you like to have this level of success and notoriety within the magic community? They'd be like, hell yeah, 100%. And you've just got started, like I say, just 2 years. This is where you're at. It's amazing. What is left on the magical bucket list? What stuff do you want to hit? What do you want to do?
It's been quite surreal, like you say. I mean, to have a trick out in the public domain with a major company is, hey, Dunder Mifflin got my one here as well.
There you go.
I got loads of them. I can't help it. I just got so many.
Oh, huge fan of The Office.
Oh, I love it. I just come back from Florida, like you say, and I just brought so many T-shirts and cups and everything on it. sorry, off the subject. Right, yeah, yeah, it's been surreal. It's been a surreal thing to have a trick out with, like, with Penguin. Was just like, wow, I've got a trick. And then it kind of went into the top 10. I think it was at number one for a while. And I was like, wow, is this really happening? And then I had an email to say, oh, you know, you've been nominated for Trick of the Year. And I was like, really? And then when it won, I was like, this is going to be a mind up. This, you know, like when I saw who I was up against, I was like, really? Wow. I was happy. You know, I love the trick, don't get me wrong, but you know, things like that don't happen to me, you know. And then, like, you know, I've had other tricks come out, and so far, I don't know whether I've been lucky. I say I've been lucky because every trick that's come out has had really good reviews. You know, I haven't brought a trick out yet, touch wood, but people have gone, oh my god, what made them bring this out? So I've been very, very lucky with that respect. I've lectured at the Magic Circle, I've lectured at, up and down the country, I've done Midwest Magic Convention with yourself and with Jay Sankey, and then to have people like yourself, Ryan and Jay Sankey and other magicians come up to me to say like how much they love my magic, but like how much they love my lecture now, it's been surreal, it's been very humbling, and kind of like, you know, pinch myself to wake up type stuff. Moving forward, I had no interest in being on TV or anything like that, but then kind of like speaking to yourself and speaking to Ryland about Britain's Got Talent, America's Got Talent, I'm like, yeah, I don't know whether I, you know, there's a part of me I want to give it a go, but then there's a part of me that's kind of like, oh, I don't know if I've got the confidence enough to do it. And yeah, you know, I don't know, maybe if I can work with, like, you know, I don't know, like the pipe dream is to work with somebody like Dan Brown or Dynamo or Chris Angel. Or it's never going to happen, but if you're going to have a dream, you might as well dream big, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, what's the point of having a dream if you ain't going to, like, you know, go OTT? So I think that would be the dream, but I think realistically it's just to get more magic out there, and just hopefully people like what I do, you know? I think that's it, really.
That's great. That's great. There's absolutely, I think you can hit that and then some, 100%, Jamie. And believe it or not, I'm fairly confident that you're an inspiration to a lot of people out there, because there's a lot of magicians that, like I said at the very beginning of this interview, there's a lot of people that come into this industry that struggle with imposter syndrome. They want to perform. They want to go out there. They want to do that. And they struggle. They think that they aren't ever going to be able to. It's why so many people learn magic and learn magic and never go out and perform it. And this is something that you've struggled with. And yet, for the last 12 years, have made a very good living being a full-time magician. You're being recognized as one of the top creators in the industry. And it's something that you've struggled with as well. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that are watching this interview that are going to have inspiration, are going to feel inspired and motivated from listening to your story. I really do.
Oh, well, I hope so. I mean, if it helps just one person, then that's a good thing, isn't it? Like, you know? But you know, whoever you are, if you're watching this, just you're good enough. You know, don't ever let anybody tell you you're not. The only thing you need to do is believe in yourself. You can do that, then you can make anything happen.
That's amazing. That's really good. So real talk before we finish this interview. Real talk. Jay Sankey has told you that your lecture is one of the best that he's ever seen. If people are watching this and want to book you for a lecture for their club, or they want to book you for a lecture for their convention, how do they do that? How do people reach out to you, Jamie?
So they can contact me via social media. So I'm on Facebook. I'll probably be commenting on this one once the video's out. But yeah, you can find me on social media, Jamie Williams, Jamie Williams Magic. My website is www.jamiewilliamsmagic.com. So just reach out to me. If I can do anything, then I'm more than happy. If you're watching this and you're Britain's Got Talent, America's Got Talent, advisor on a brand new TV show, I'm your man. I can help you come up with some great magic, I promise.
That's great. People need to reach out to you, Jamie, they really do. And I want to say thank you very much. Oh, one more thing worth noting, that website that you you just talked about, jamiewilliamsmagic.com, a lot of your tricks are available through that website, aren't they? You can actually buy those through
I need to update it, to be honest with you. My effect you can buy through myself as well. Yeah, absolutely.
And there's other stuff on there that we haven't talked about that's unique to you as well. Obviously, sticker kickers on there, refills for sticker kickers on there, celebrities on there, all that fun stuff. But also, there's a bunch of other routines and ideas and concepts on there as well that are worth looking at, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I know, I sound like a Delvo Trotter here, but low price, come along, I won't do you wrong. But there's some great stuff on there. And like I say, everything of mine is easy to do. It's a real worker, very visual. Whether you're a beginner in magic or whether you're a professional, you're going to find something in my magic to keep you happy, basically.
Amazing. Jamie, I want to say thank you so much for coming on the channel. Thank you so much for doing everything that you do in the magic community, and congratulations on all your real success and all the success that you're going to have in the future. I'm sure I'll speak to you before, but if not, I will definitely see you at Blackpool. Spoiler for anybody that's watching this, Jamie Williams is going to be at the Blackpool Magic Convention, and you're going to be demonstrating on the MB Magic dealer booth, aren't you? So you're going to be there with Mark Bennett, performing movie quiz, your brand new trick, maybe something else that might be coming out at Blackpool through you and MB Magic as well.
Yeah, I found out about this about an hour ago when we were chatting with Mark. And Mark said, yeah, Jamie, you're coming to Blackpool, you're working on my store. And I was like, oh, okay. At the moment, I'm going to be at Blackpool, going to be at Mark's store, MB Magic. Obviously, I'll be doing movie quiz, my brand new effect. Buy it, it's amazing. Hopefully we'll have one or two other things out. Mark's gonna have some great stuff on his store as well. The sweetie trick, I'm a big fan of, so I'm gonna probably try to help out demo come along, come to Blackpool, come and say hello. I'd be loving to meet everybody.
That's amazing. Jamie, thank you so much for coming on Magic TV. You rock. I want everybody to do me a favor, leave a comment down below. Let Jamie know what you thought of the interview. More importantly, Don't forget to hit him up on social media. Go check his shop out on his website. And if you are looking for a lecturer, go and speak to Jamie. His lecture is absolutely brilliant. But Jamie, thank you so much one more time. On behalf of everyone that's watched this interview, I really appreciate you coming on Magic TV. Oh,
thank you so much for having me, man. Thank you so, so much.
You're more than welcome, man. Guys, like I said, leave a comment down below. Go buy Movie Quiz. It's absolutely fantastic. It's available from all good magic dealers and also Jamie's website, the MB Magic website. And I will be back again tomorrow with a bunch of videos like I do every single day. So I'll see you again soon. On behalf of Jamie Williams, my name's Craig Petty. Thank you very much for watching. And this was Magic TV.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic, magic.
Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV. Or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.